kind of wish you all could see that from my perspective, standing up here on stage, just the whole body surrounded together, laying hands and praying. It's pretty cool to see. It's neat to be a part of that kind of body. Humorist Garrison Keillor recalls the childhood trauma of picking children for a schoolyard game of baseball. Of course, you know how it goes. There's two captains, the popular kids, and when they start picking up teams, you know, they pick their best friends and the most athletic kids first. You know, but then as the numbers begin to dwindle, it gets down to, well, we'll take the slow kid. He can be the catcher. But then they get to the last few kids, the scrubs, and they begin to bargain and deal. You know, well, we'll take her, but you got to take him. And any kid that's ever been picked last knows deeply the existential pain of which I speak. Garrison Keillor, he says that he longed, he dreamed just once if somebody would pick him first. Hey, the scrawny kid with the glasses, we want him on our team. Yeah. Her, we called her first. There's something special about being chosen. And today's verse is all about being chosen by God. In this case, God chooses a nation. Now, He didn't choose this nation because they were better than all the other nations. He didn't choose this nation because He didn't love any of the other nations, but He chose them for a special purpose. He chose them to be His. He chose them because He had a special purpose for them. We're in a series called Core 52, and we're looking at 52 verses in the Bible that will give you the highest return on investment. So when it comes to knowing and understanding the Bible, knowing and understanding these 52 verses and the stories and ideas that go with them will take you further faster. Now, we started off a few weeks ago in the book of Genesis looking at beginnings. All right, we looked at the beginning of the world. We looked at the beginning of humanity. We saw how God's majesty was present in creation. We saw how the image of God was hardwired into each and every person. But then we also saw how everything got messed up and everything went wrong there in the Garden of Eden. And then last week, Terry shared with you how God took the very first steps to fix what was broken, to set right what once went wrong. And God did this by making a covenant with Abraham. Now, a covenant is simply an agreement based on a promise. And God made a covenant with one man, Abraham, so that one day he could bless all people. Now, this morning, we're going to see God's plan expanded from one man to one nation. You see, God chose one man so that He could choose one family. And He chooses one family so that He could choose one nation. And He chooses that one nation so that one day, here's the end of the sermon right here, He could choose you. That was the whole point. You see, you start with God's covenant with Abraham. Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and one day I will bless all people through you. And then Abraham has a son named Isaac, and God reaffirms that covenant with Isaac. And Isaac has a son named Jacob. God reaffirms that covenant with Jacob. Not only that, but God changes Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. And then he has 12 sons who become the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it is this nation that God chooses. And God chooses them to be His people, to have a special relationship with Him. And God sets them apart for a very special purpose. And so over these next four Sundays, we're going to look at what it means to be set apart. Now, why did God go to all this trouble to have a chosen people? What was the point? And what does it have to do with us? Well, to begin to answer that question, we're going to go to a book in the Bible that has the reputation of being one of the most boring books in the Bible. I'm just being honest with you. Right? Let's say that you had a New Year's resolution to read the Bible. You started off in January. You're going to read through the whole Bible in a year, okay? And so you start off Genesis, Exodus, all right? Those are both books filled with lots of interesting stories, lots of interesting characters. You are doing good. You are kicking butt. And then you get to February 2nd, and you run headfirst into Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And there's lots of rules and do's and don'ts, and so much of it doesn't make sense to us. And what does it have to do with my life anyway? And it all slows to a crawl. Now, before your eyes glaze over, in the middle of all of this is a very important verse. Leviticus 11:45, all right, and this is our core verse, and this is the verse you're supposed to memorize, and so we're going to see how well I've done, and I'm looking over here, so I'm not looking at the cheat sheet, okay? For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Amen. Did I get it? All right. One of these days I'm going to ask all of you to do the verse, see how well you do. All right? But the bottom line of this verse is a call to be holy. Holiness begins with God's choice. It began with God's choice of Abraham, then his choice of Isaac, and then Jacob, who becomes Israel, and then his choice of Israel. I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. And when he says, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, this is God's way of saying, I chose you. I picked you. You are the one I wanted on my team. And he didn't pick Israel because she was the wealthiest nation. He didn't pick Israel because she was the most powerful nation. He didn't pick Israel because she was the largest nation. She was none of those things. You remember the story. He picked Israel out of Egypt. He chose her out of slavery. Right? Israel was the last kid that anyone wanted on their team. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 and 7 says this. For you, and it's talking about Israel here, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all of the people who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than the other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. Here's the thing. Israel was not chosen because she was special. She was special because she was chosen. She was not chosen because she was special. She was special because she was chosen. Go back to Leviticus 11:45. There's an important word there. And it's the word therefore. In fact, whenever you're reading your Bible and you see the word therefore, circle it. It's an important word. Whenever you see the word therefore, you've got to figure out what it is there for. You see, the word therefore, it connects two ideas together. It says that one thing is related to another thing, and because this thing is true, then therefore this thing is true, or it should be true. And so we read here, I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. To be your God, you shall therefore be holy. Did you notice the order here? God doesn't say, you are holy, therefore I brought you out of the land of Egypt. No, that's not what he says at all. He says, I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, therefore you should be holy. I chose you, therefore be holy. Israel became holy because God chose her. Now, what does it mean to be holy? Well, the word holy simply means this, to be set apart for a special purpose. To be set apart for a specific purpose. To be holy is to be set apart. And so God takes an ordinary people and he sets them apart for an extraordinary purpose. Something isn't set apart because it is holy. It's holy because it's set apart. And I'll give you just some examples of this. Remember the story of Moses. Moses is out. He's watching sheep. Right? And he notices an odd sight. The Bible says that what he sees is the angel of the Lord. And what's going on is there's this bush. And it's on fire. And the bush isn't burning up. And so Moses walks over to check out what's going on. And the voice of God tells him, Moses, take off your sandals, for the ground on which you are standing is holy ground. Well, what makes that spot holy? It's just an ordinary patch of ground. It's just an ordinary bush. It's holy because God chose that patch of ground. He chose that particular bush and he used it for his purpose. That's what makes it holy. In the tabernacle, there were items that were used in the daily worship and all the ministrations of the priests and their daily activities. There were certain items that were said to be holy, set apart, sacred, devoted to the Lord. And just a freebie this morning, there are several words, holy, sacred, sanctified, saint. All of these words are based on the same word and based on the same meaning. All right? And we're told that these items used in the tabernacle or the temple are holy, sacred, set apart. Things like lamps, jars, vessels, loaves of bread, things like that. And they're holy. But you take these items out of the tabernacle and just put them in your house and they're ordinary lamps, they're ordinary vessels, they're ordinary loaves of bread. What makes them holy? The fact that they've been set apart and dedicated to the service of the Lord. A person chosen by God becomes holy, not because their nature is different from any other person, not because they're better than another person, but simply because God says, I'll choose that one. And God sets them aside for a special purpose. And so one moment, they're just an ordinary person, but then God chooses them and sets them apart, and they become holy. I love what Mark Moore writes in the Core 52 book. He says, holiness happens when God proclaims, not when a person performs. Our holiness is God's gift to us, not our gift to Him. Holiness is received, not achieved. And this is 180 degrees different from how we often think of holiness. We always think of holiness, well, this is something I do for God. This is something I do so that God will choose me. And it's the other way around. And Mark offers an example from our everyday lives that we have objects in our home, ordinary objects that we make holy. All right? It's just a brush. You could use this for all sorts of things. You could clean the grout in your tile. You could use it to apply a hair dye. You could use it to clean all sorts of hard-to-reach areas. I always have toothbrushes in my gun cleaning kit. Lots of cyclists use these to clean their chains. But when you take one of these and you say, that's my toothbrush, it becomes holy, doesn't it? It's set apart. You don't let it touch anything else. You don't share it with anyone else. You don't go clean the hinges on your toilet seat and then brush your teeth. And if you do, we don't want to know. You don't share it with your husband to clean the grime out from under his toenails and then brush your teeth. Why? Because it's holy. It's been set apart for a special purpose. And we've got other holy items in our home. You have the good towels. You have the good dishes that are only used for special occasions. You have a coffee pot that's dedicated only for your morning sanity. Right? You don't cook soup in your coffee pot. You don't melt your Scentsy wax in your coffee pot. It is set apart for coffee. That's it. So to be holy is to be set apart. In this verse, God is telling Israel, I'm setting you apart for a very special purpose. And since I've set you apart, I want you to be devoted to that purpose. All right? And that's what all these rules are about. When you get to this part of the Bible, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and you start seeing all of these do's and don'ts, all of these ceremonial and religious laws, the point of all of that is God saying, I've chosen you. I've set you apart, so I want you to be different. That's the point of all of these things. Take circumcision, for example. Right? God had called Israel. He was sending them into the promised land. None of the peoples where they were going practice circumcision. Right? And not to get too explicit here this morning, but when you consider the ways of these people and their false religion and their idol worship, let's just say there was lots of sexual immorality, sexual perversion that actually was a part of the religious ritual. All right? And so God gives them circumcision as a very intimate and personal reminder that, hey, I don't want you to be like all of them. I don't want you to do what they do. And so that was the point of that. Another thing that we'll read a lot about in this part of the Bible are all the dietary laws, all the things they're not supposed to eat. And we're like, why? Well, likewise, this was God setting the people apart from the customs and habits of the surrounding peoples. And we also know today that God was also protecting them from a lot of diseases and ailments that afflicted a lot of the people in that part of the world at that time. But it was God's way of saying, I want you to be different. I want you to be special. Many of the other laws were specifically targeted at the religious practices of pagan idol worship. There was lots of things that went into their worship of false gods. And so God would pinpoint those things and say, I don't want you to do that. So for instance, there's a law in Leviticus 19, verse 28, which forbids the Israelites from getting tattoos. Now, some of us, if you were an Old Testament Israel, you'd be in trouble. But some Christians have made the mistake of looking at this and thinking, well, tattoos must be bad. And that's not the point of it at all. You see, these ancient pagans weren't getting tattoos because they thought it looked cool. It wasn't decoration. They weren't honoring their spouse or their children or whatever. It was a part of their worship of a false god. They were marking their bodies in ways that was to give honor and praise to an idol. And so God said, no. No, I've chosen you. I've picked you. I want you on my team. I don't want you being like that. I don't want you doing that. Because God had chosen her and set her apart for a special purpose. Now, what was that purpose? Well, there's a lot of answers to that question, but I want to give you just two of them this morning. One of the purposes was that God wanted Israel, God chose Israel to be an example. God wanted Israel to be this flagship nation through which other people could see and learn from. Not so much of what Israel is like, but what God is like. Deuteronomy 28, 9 and 10 says this, "The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as His set-apart people, as He promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in His ways," here it is, "then all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you." So God chose them to be an example. The second reason God chose them is to bring His Messiah into the world. You see, Israel was a key step in God's plan to fix what went wrong in the Garden of Eden. And His eternal purpose was to undo what sin and death had done to His creation. It was to undo what sin and death had done to the image of God in people. And Jesus was the way that He did that. And Jesus was a Jewish Messiah. God had spent hundreds, even thousands of years preparing the way for Jesus to come into this world. And God began working that plan all the way back to what Terry talked about last week with His covenant with Abraham. God makes this covenant with Abraham. "One day I will bless all people through you." He's talking about Jesus and the Messiah. God chose Abraham to bless the whole world. God chose Israel to bless the whole world. God chose Israel to bless you and me. God chose Israel so that one day He could choose you. You are a part of God's promise to Abraham. You are one of the reasons God set apart Israel. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms." Here it is. "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." We've been chosen. Chosen to be holy. That is, chosen to be set apart. And when did He do this? He says, before the foundation of the world. How did He do this? He did this in Christ. Now, I realize there's a lot to wrap our heads around here. In fact, this is hard to understand. Unless maybe you're smarter than me. There's a lot here I don't get. But how did God choose me before He ever made the world? I don't get all that. I'm just humble enough to say God's plan and God's mind is bigger than anything I can understand. And I have to humbly accept that there is some marvelous mystery here. But I do know this, that we are chosen in Jesus. Not just chosen as an individual, like I can go around, "Hey, God chose me, woohoo, I'm better than all of you." No, He chose us in Christ as a body. Peter writes about this. The Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He's talking to the church here, but he talks to the church like the church is Israel. This stuff sounds very familiar. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We're a chosen people. We've been chosen for a reason. And so what is our response to that? What is the so what? Well, Peter tells us, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance." In other words, don't be like you were before you knew that you were chosen. Don't do the same things that you did before you knew you were set apart. "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy. Does that sound familiar? He's quoting from Leviticus 11:45 here, and he's applying it to my life and to yours. He's saying God has called you. God has chosen you. He has set you apart, and now He wants you to live a life that is set apart. And this is where our personal holiness comes in. Normally, when we think of holiness, we think of our morality, our ethics, our personal and spiritual purity. But what you need to understand is this. Your personal and spiritual purity is not the source of holiness. It is the result. Does that make sense? But once God sets you apart, you want to live up to that. And we understand how this works from things that just happen in regular life. Have you ever been chosen for a special honor? Homecoming court. Maybe your boss is giving you a special assignment at work. A lot of you served in the armed forces. And maybe your commander sent you on a special mission. All right? So if you're going to be homecoming queen, once you have been chosen and set apart, you're expected to do certain things in accordance with being chosen, right? So you're homecoming queen. You got to go get your hair done. You go to Aubrey. She takes your picture for the paper. And you got to ride in a car in the parade and wave at everybody. You know, you show up at halftime of the football game. You go through all of that because you've been set apart. If your boss is giving you a special assignment at work, that might mean you've got to work some overtime, you've got to attend some special meetings, maybe you even go to another city for a special business meeting. You know, if your commander has sent you on a special mission, well then maybe there's some extra training involved. You are issued special equipment that you don't normally have. Maybe you're assigned to a new unit. There are things that you are expected to do because you have been chosen and because you've been set apart. And that's the same thing here. You have been chosen. You've been set apart for a special purpose. And now God wants us to live according to that purpose. God wants you to live an extraordinary life based on the extraordinary purpose to which He has called you. He wants you to be special. He wants you to be different. Jesus makes two comparisons. He says, we are like salt that spreads its flavor through a whole dish. I don't know if any of you are saltaholics, but you put a little bit of salt on your dish and guess what? It flavors the whole thing, doesn't it? He also compares this to a light, a lamp. You set this lamp on a table and it lights up the whole room. He says that's how we're supposed to be. That when we live set apart lives, the flavor is noticed everywhere. The light is seen all around. But he says, if the salt loses its saltiness, if somebody puts the light under a basket, well, that was like on cue, wasn't it? It does no good. And here's where we have a problem. When it comes to Christians in North America, almost every survey of personal morality, conduct, ethics, the way that we live our lives, every survey that compares the way Christians live their lives versus the way people out there live their lives, do you know what those surveys find? There's about 3 to 5 percentage points of difference. That's not much. God didn't choose Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Israel. And God didn't send Jesus. And Jesus didn't die on the cross to make a 3 to 5 percentage point difference in our lives. He really didn't. But the truth is that when it comes to things like lying, cheating on your taxes, and sexual immorality, and losing our temper, and drunkenness, There's not much difference between the things Christians do and the things non-Christians do. And I think if there was a reliable way of measuring things like patience, gentleness, kindness, peacefulness, we'd find again that Christians really aren't all that different. This is about living a set-apart life. This isn't about earning God's acceptance and approval. He's already accepted you. He's already called you. He's already chosen you. But it's living according to that. Remember earlier when I talked about how we have in our homes some items that are used for everyday things and we have other items that are holy and set apart? Well, listen to this scripture. This is Paul writing to a young minister, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21. And Sean, all apologies to you because I'm not using a real Bible translation here. This is from the Message. But I really like how he renders this. In a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters, but waste cans and compost buckets. Some containers used to serve fine meals, others to take out the garbage. Become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to His guests for their blessings. Right. He's saying there's you're a silver platter, not a compost bucket. Live like it. This is what it means to be chosen. This is what it means to be set apart. It doesn't matter who in this world tries to tell you that you're garbage, because the Almighty Creator of the universe has already chosen you, has already called you His treasured possession. And God looks at you and He points at you and He says, I want you. I want you on my team. I choose Him. I pick her. You've been set apart. And that's where holiness begins. And so as we draw this sermon to a close, I want you to just reflect on that reality. What does it mean that you've been chosen? What does it mean that you've been set apart? And does your life reflect that reality? Do you live a set apart life? Now we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song of invitation and commitment. And maybe today is the day that you first realize that you've been chosen. Maybe today is the day you become set apart. And if that's a decision you need to make, I'm going to be right here at these double doors. We're going to have some of our leaders up here at the cross to pray with you. We're going to have some of our Stephen ministers in the back to pray with you. If you have anything in your life that you need prayer for, you need to pray with somebody, something you're struggling with, a question you're striving to answer, whatever it is, come talk to one of us. Come pray with one of us. That's why we're here. Please be standing as we sing this song.